Welcome back to that 590 show. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. Joining us, though, right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the Cubs beat writer for the Chicago Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at MD Gonzalez. Mark Gonzalez, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. A beautiful night to be at the ballpark, right?
Gorgeous. About time we have some good weather, all right? I hope so. I mean, Cardinals are playing darn well. They're coming home. I think the fans will be behind them knowing they're in first place. With the Cubs have been really inconsistent. So I won't say this is a do-or-die series, but it'll be an entertaining series.
Let's talk about how odd the situation is. At least what I find odd is that if I would ask you before the season started, okay, on May 12th when the Cardinals and Cubs play at Busch Stadium, one team's going to be in first place and one team's going to be .500. I have a feeling that most people would think they would be in opposite spots. It would be the Cardinals at .500 and the Cubs in first place.
Well, I'm not surprised that the Cardinals are over .500. I'm more surprised that the Cubs are at .500 and that they've made a lot of mistakes. They have the same amount of errors as the Cardinals, 27, I believe. But they've really been costly, where I think the Cardinals have gotten a huge lift from Mike Leake and the way he's kind of set the pace, because let's face it, Wainwright is off to a rough start. You know, Carlos Martinez has had some up-and-down outings, but they've really carried the weight well. I mean, they had a pretty strong series against the Marlins coming from behind, where the Cubs, they've lost 5 out of 6 the likes of the Red Sox and Yankees, really had a battle to come from behind and wins over the Phillies. The things just haven't been easy for the Cubs over the last 3 weeks.
It's amazing when you think about it, the 126-year history of the St. Louis Cardinals is the first time they've ever done a six-game sweep on the road. So that tells you something, maybe that this team might be onto something, maybe onto something good. I think the Cubs this weekend, though, are going to be a good litmus test. The Braves and the Marlins, you know, they're teams that aren't very good. This Cubs team, even though I know that they're 500 right now, but they're still defending champs, it's still the team to beat in the division, in my opinion. So this is going to be a good test for the Cardinals as well.
Yeah, because, the Cubs offense is still formidable. There's been some vulnerability, especially from the left side. Kyle Schwarber hasn't gotten in track yet. Anthony Rizzo's in one of his down slumps, but usually rebounds well. But they really haven't had that much consistent production from the left side. So they're due to warm up. I don't know if it's going to happen this weekend, but I expect the offense to start kicking in some way soon.
And do you think that's what it's been? Basically, the offense just really hasn't been living up to their end of the bargain? Because before the season started, everybody kept talking about how, you know, the Cubs, if it's going to be anything, it's going to be the starting pitching isn't going to be that great. The starting pitching's been okay. The bullpen's has been pretty good. But the lineup has been bad. Kyle Schwarber's been really bad.
Yeah, you know, Joe Maddon's still going to keep faith in him. He still sees a lot of pitches at the top of the order. He believes it's more him just not hitting. His on-base percentage, I believe, is still over .300. You know, the offense was pretty good until the last 2 weeks or so. They've really struggled. Now, you mentioned the starting pitching. That's been mystifying. They've had a couple of good starts lately in Colorado, namely John Lackey and Kyle Hendricks. But overall, it's been kind of mystifying. Jake Arrieta's been hot and cold. Brett Anderson, who's now on the DL, he was struggling a lot as a fifth starter. The guy you're going to see tonight, Eddie Butler, if he pitches well, he'll stay in the rotation. He's the guy they got in a trade from the Rockies after he was designated for assignment through Super in spring training. Probably had a strong case to make the team, but there was just no spot for him right now. It's going to be interesting to see how he adjusts that success or carries that success at AAA to this level. So it's a big outing for him because everybody – a sense is that the Cubs will make an effort to land another starting pitcher around the trading deadline, but Butler can alleviate some of that urgency if he pitches well.
Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at MD Gonzalez. Mark, a couple days ago, Joe Maddon, the Chicago Cubs manager, cited fatigue as a reason for the Cubs' recent struggles. I know the Cubs, they had that 18-inning marathon this past Sunday night against the New York Yankees, and then after that you have the trip out to Colorado, then you have the rain delay there as well, and then have to play the doubleheader there. So maybe Joe Maddon just wasn't really making an excuse. This team really is tired.
Well, I think every defending champion goes through it. I'm sure the Cardinals went through it in 2012, coming off their World Series title, and even after that World Series appearance in 2013, the following year. You know, when you put that on top of the workload that starting pitchers go through, it adds up. And in the case of the Cubs, they've had some goofy starting time. Some of it's caused by their notoriety on a national level. The fact they've played, I think, three Sunday night games, also have had a few 3-4 o'clock starts. But if you're a champion, you go through that. That comes with the territory, and you got to adjust. And I think maybe there needs to be more adjusting by the players, because Joe certainly gives these guys ample rest, and he's very cognizant of that. But I do think there's some truth to what he's saying. I mean, they play that 18-inning game in last Sunday, and then they get into Colorado in the second hour of the morning news. So that's sort of the animal they're going through right now. But everybody goes through it, so they got to adjust sooner or else they're going to find themselves in a lot of trouble.
Do you think that it could be a little bit of a championship hangover too, that, you know, you spent the whole off season partying, you know, you won the Chicago Cubs first title since 1908. You know, you're kind of like all of a sudden you're new media darlings. Everybody's picking you to go back to the World Series again. Do you think maybe a little bit of that got to their head and they're kind of, you know, still kind of living in the afterglow of last season?
I don't, although I will say I'm really baffled that they haven't played better at home. It's been mystifying, because I think there was two elements to their success last year during the regular season. One was their home dominance. I think they won 57 games at home, 57-24. They took care of business there and in the division as well. And they've really, you know, looked kind of flat at times within the division. They got swept at home by a pesky Pirate team. You know, they had a really struggle a few times against Cincinnati. The series at Great American Ballpark, the Brewers have really taxed their pitching. I mean, they've beaten up on the Brewers a little bit, but they've really tested their pitching. So I just think the division is really ratcheted up against them. But I don't think that they're suffering from any kind of World Series hangover.
How much do the Cubs miss Dexter Fowler in that leadoff spot? We were talking about Kyle Schwarber earlier. His batting average is below 200, but you said that his on-base percentage is not too bad. But how much do they miss having Dexter Fowler at the top of that lineup?
Oh, he certainly would help them. I mean, you think about what would have happened last year had Kyle Schwarber not gotten hurt and been able to bat, you know, six or seven this batting order because of Dexter and what he did the 2 years with the Cubs. It was just sensational, especially from August of 2015 on through 16. He was as good as a leadoff hitter there was in baseball. Just check the numbers. Batted 390. He had a 393 on base percentage last year. I think was tops among leadoff guys. So they really need a table setter. I think Schwarber will eventually start hitting, but you look at Dexter's track record. That's hard to match.
We mentioned earlier about the starting pitcher tonight for the Chicago Cubs, Eddie Butler, and how if he has a good outing, he can maybe help them, you know, save them from having to make a difficult decision later on in the year about having to trade for starting pitching. But what do you know about Eddie Butler? It looks like he's making his debut tonight.
Yeah, he was a big-time guy with the Rockies. It didn't pan out. You know, he throws 95, 96, but I think his better pitch is a changeup. He's going to induce a lot of contact. You look at his track record, at least this season at Triple A Iowa, pitched six innings or more, and I believe four or five consecutive starts. You know, 92 pitches, not a high strikeout total, but he certainly is very efficient. And if he pitches well, there's no reason for him to go back to Iowa. But he's got to be a strike throw. If he starts nibbling, he's going to play into the Cardinals' hands.
And if he's a soft tosser, then I do not like the Cardinals' chances, because historically, I don't know what it is. If you have a fireballer up there, the Cardinals have no problem. If you put somebody up there who can't throw more than, you know, 85, 88 miles an hour, the Cardinals can't hit him. So, you know, maybe if he can get that changeup effective and he can throw it for a strike, he may be successful tonight.
With the changeup I saw when he had at Colorado early in his career was dynamic, but I don't know, for some reason it didn't pan out there. And they designated him for assignment. But the Cubs, they say they've always liked him because of the arm, the fact he throws 96. But his changeup can be paralyzing at times.
Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune joining us right now on the Belmont Automotive phone line. So you think that, let's say, if the Cubs, they don't get swept, but they lose a series, they lose two out of three, do you think that this could be something that they could maybe have difficulty recovering from the rest of the year?
I think there's plenty of games to be played. I don't think the Cardinals come to Wrigley Field till the beginning of June. So that might be a more and more true measuring stick. I think the Cubs has got to take care of business right now. They've made too many mistakes in the field. The starting pitching's got to go deeper, although some of that's been caused by the errors at extended innings. So I think you look at those two elements and then get the left-handed hitters going. They could be in decent shape, but I've been pretty impressed with what the Cardinals have done to this point.
Considering how they started, you know, started the season 3-9 and then win 16 of their next 20, I'm stunned as well, but I'm also considering the kind of competition that they're playing, and I think that we'll know more about this Cardinals team this weekend against the Cubs. If they have a great, I mean, if they don't, if they, you know, maybe lose a series, but they look good playing, then I'm going to feel better about it. But if they look pitiful and they lose a series and they only win one game, then I'm going to be like, yep, yeah, maybe this is the team that we saw earlier in the year.
Well, we saw a pretty good series here to start the season.
And, yes, we did.
You know, the Cardinals easily could have won that last game, and Cubs somehow pulled it out in the way they did in 2016 with a big Schwarber homer. But you could sense these games are more intense. I kind of like it.
I do too. It's always fun when the Cubs come to Busch Stadium. And if I remember correctly, I don't think the Cubs and the Cardinals played a weekend series at Busch Stadium in 2016 at all, for some reason.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Kind of strange, but it's a good way to get closer to the real true blood, sweat, and tears of the summer to start, you know, with a weekend series here with some great weather.
Mark, we appreciate your conversation, and we look forward to having you on again soon. Enjoy the weekend here in St. Louis and at Busch Stadium.
I already have. I've been eating very well in your town, so thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great night.
Take care.
That is Mark Gonzalez, the Chicago Cubs beat writer for the Chicago Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at MD Gonzalez. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Clay Byersdorfer from RedbirdDaily.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.